Get started. I was waiting on somebody to come in and introduce me again. I guess no one is. Aw. Okay, well, I'm Katie Teft. I'm the program attorney at TMCEC. I run the bunch of the different programs. I don't know how many of you were in here for my earlier presentation, but I'm sure I've talked to many of you on the 800 line. I've been there for about 2.5 years now, so we're kind of just rolling along, gearing up for this second legislative cycle and getting ready for next academic year. So, are we ready? I think. Yeah? Do you need to check it? Okay. Okay, but. I was waiting for him to come in and start the recording before we get started too much, but we'll go ahead and start. Okay, so again, for the record, my name is Katie Teft. I'm the program attorney at TMCEC, and we're here today to talk about a program. How many of you have seen the Driving on the Right Side of the Road presentation before? Anybody? A couple people? Okay, this is a presentation that we have developed in conjunction with TxDOT, and we call it Driving on the Right Side of the Road. But the goal of this class is really to look at ways that we as judges and court clerks and court personnel can get out into the community and talk about something that's extremely important to all of our communities, and that topic is traffic safety. So this is one of our TxDOT classes. I have to pass out the obligatory sign-in sheets. One of them is for judges, one is for clerks. They're highlighted at the top, so if you'll just find whichever sign-in sheet applies to you and let us know that you were here. Again, this is how we get some of our funding. But today's presentation, we're calling it From Courtroom to Classroom, and the reason is that you all are in the courts. I mean, how many full-time employees do I have in here that are in the courts full-time? And how many part-time judges do I have? Okay, so you part-timers might have a little bit more time. I don't know, it might take away from your other business, but the full-time employees, you know, it's kind of hard for us to get out of the courtroom, and this is something that we've always tried to encourage court staff to get out into the community and become active in the community. But we find that, can y'all hear me okay in the back? But we find that because of a lack of time or because of a lack of resources, it's really hard for us to get out there and do that. So hopefully today we're going to talk about some resources that we at TMCEC have developed, some ideas for you all to be able to go out and get involved with the kids and with other community groups. So the objectives today is to look at not only the ways that we can do this, but to talk about why it's important for the court to get involved in these public outreach programs. How many of my attorney judges are in here? Are you here because you want the ethics credit? Yes. All right, well, we'll talk about some of the ethical issues that we have with the court's involvement in public outreach programs, and then we'll also go through some of the different resources. And I want this to be a discussion class. Now, this is the recorded class that's going to go on our website that people can go and download the audio and hear, but that means you all have the opportunity to get your involvement with the community out on our website, to have other people be able to listen to some of the things that you have been able to do in your community to get involved with the schools. If anybody's had field trips come to the courthouse, if you've ever gotten to go out and talk to a classroom. Anybody here come to the traffic safety conference? No? Okay. At the traffic safety conference, we have a whole conference that talks just about traffic safety issues and ways that we can relate that to the community issues as well. So let's look at a couple of these numbers and see why this is such an important topic and concept. In 2010, in fiscal year 2010, this is according to TxDOT statistics, or in the actual calendar year 2010, we had one reportable crash every 74 seconds, which means in the amount of time it took me to introduce myself, we had a reportable crash happen in the state of Texas. We had 235,280 people who were injured in the state of Texas in 2010, 80,640 serious injuries, and 3,089 deaths. So we know this is an important, a scary topic. We know that traffic safety is something that affects every one of us personally in our own lives as well as in our communities, and we in the municipal courts are the ones that are going to see most of these traffic-related cases. So we are the ones that are in a position to make a difference right now. Just a couple other statistics. 47% of those crashes that resulted in a fatality, the person who was killed was not wearing a seatbelt. Something as simple as not buckling up is something that we can get out to the public. 30.9% of people killed in traffic crashes, the crash involved a drunk driver. So something as simple as seatbelt use or not drinking and driving. And again, municipal courts, we in the municipal courts are in the unique position to be able to influence people. I mean, we see so many of these cases and we can do something about it. So why do we talk about this to municipal courts? According to OCA, we have 917 municipal courts in Texas right now. In 2010, we saw 7.5 million cases come through our municipal courts in Texas. That means that we see on a daily basis more people than any other criminal justice system, any other court in the state of Texas. So we're going to come in contact with most people. And for most Texans, their only contact with the criminal justice system is going to be with you all. So my court clerks, you are going to be the entire thing that people base their opinion on for the criminal justice system in Texas. They're going to come talk to you. This is why court clerks, you get taught customer service principles, because you're going to be their only insight into the Texas criminal justice system. Judges, if you're acting as a municipal judge or you're acting as a JP, you're going to be the one that's adjudicating them. And for most of these, it's going to be traffic cases. Of that 7.5 million, 82.6 were traffic related. So that's a pretty huge number of traffic related offenses in 2010. Now let's look at teenagers. I mean, how many of you have a teenager at home? A couple. Don't be afraid to admit it. I see, you know, get some gray hair. Okay, how many of you are scared to drive in your community because of the teenage drivers? Okay, how many of you are used to seeing teenage drivers in your courtroom? How many of you were once a teenager? Everybody raise your hand. Okay, so in 2009, and these are statistics from DPS, we had 446,982 teenage drivers in the state of Texas. That's a lot of teens to be on the road. Those of you who have teenagers, I mean, fun or not fun to teach them how to drive. I know, I remember when I was learning how to drive, I couldn't stand to have my mother in the car with me. She said I was the bad driver. I said she was the bad teacher. Needless to say, I took a driving education class. I still don't like to drive with my mother. But, I mean, the number of teen drivers in the state of Texas, we're a huge state. I mean, I think the statistics, something 285 billion miles were driven in Texas last year, and we consider that we have almost half a million people who are driving on Texas roads are under the age of 18. That's a pretty scary concept. In 2010, we had 274,300 juvenile cases in municipal courts, and 120,000 of those were traffic related. So if we've got 120,000 Class C offenses against teenage drivers in 2010, just in municipal courts, doesn't include JP courts. Any of my JPs out there, y'all don't have to report stuff like we do on the municipal court reporting form, so we don't really have a clear idea of how many of these teenage driving cases we have. But let's just take the numbers for municipal courts. 120,629 cases with only 446,000 teenage drivers. That means that almost a third to a fourth of all teenage drivers are somehow going through municipal court for some kind of traffic offense. And that means that we have the opportunity to reach them in the courts. We have the opportunity to reach them in the courts by virtue of our position in the courts. If you're the judge, you're the figure of authority. And if somebody is appearing before you, you're in that position to make an influence or to actually make an impact on that person's life. Court clerks, whether you're handling any juvenile case managers out there or any of the clerks who work on these teenage cases, court clerks, if you're the one who's seeing these cases, you're in the position to make the impact on them. But we also can get out into the community and impact the other kids as well. I mean, we've got so many kids that aren't going to come into the municipal court that we can see in the schools. I mean, the number, I think most recently I read something about kids under 18 in the state of Texas make up 25% of the population, or almost 30% of the Texas population. It's a huge number of people that we can get out and impact at a young age. So there we go, 27.3% of the Texas population is under 18, which means that it's 6,865,824 teenagers, which means that almost all of them are in the public school system, and we are able to go out and talk to them. So why you all? Why should you do this? Clerks, you act as the liaison between the judiciary and the public. You put a kid in front of a judge wearing a robe, and that judge is going to command authority no matter what by virtue of wearing that robe. And clerks, you're going to be that liaison between the judge and the public. You should be respected in your communities, but I'm not going to ask how many of you feel respected in your communities. But judges, you represent our justice system. I mean, you are the symbol of justice that most of these people are ever going to see. And for the sad few that do go on and face higher charges in the criminal justice system, you're probably the gateway. I mean, you're probably the first time that these people are going to be in the criminal justice system. And you are a symbol of authority. But more importantly, you all see this stuff on a daily basis. You know, how many of you, when you first came to work for the courts, learned something new about the traffic laws in the state of Texas? Hopefully everybody, because I guarantee you the DPS isn't teaching everything. Driver education classes don't teach everything. Driving safety courses don't teach everything. So we are the experts in this matter. We are the ones who study the transportation code ad nauseum. We're probably the only dorks in the whole state of Texas that can cite a statute number for not wearing a seatbelt. I mean, everybody else just says, here's clicket or ticket, and we know in Texas you have to wear your seatbelt, but how many people know where to go find that law in the transportation code? So we are the experts in this area. We are the ones with the knowledge to go out into the community. And because we know this so well, we can make it interesting. We can make it fun for them. Now, I always like those, you know, sayings, truth is stranger than fiction. You know, I mean, we all hear the stories. But, I mean, we could take our docket. We could take our ticket books that we see. And we could go out and tell some of these stories and have people rolling on the floor laughing. And we're not making any of it up. I heard a story the other day, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but distracted driving, huge topic right now. I mean, in fact, Webster's Dictionary named distracted driving as the word of the year for 2009. Federal government has jumped on the bandwagon. States are jumping on the bandwagon. You're about to see a whole lot of laws go into effect that are going to affect cell phones and driving. Kathy Riedel just taught a class a couple hours ago on cell phones and driving. But distracted driving in general, huge, huge concern, right? Everybody's concerned with it. So we talked, you know, just tell me, what are some of the different forms of distracted driving? Cell phones, obviously, but texting, GPS setting, what else? Put on makeup, playing with the radio, talking to other people in the car, eating, having pets in the back seat. I asked somebody at a, having what? Kids in the back. I asked somebody at a Houston Municipal Court conference one time, what are some different forms of distracted driving? And she said, smacking your kids. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to ask any more questions on that one. But I read an article in a Florida newspaper about a woman who was stopped for, she was stopped for what they thought was reckless driving. And they found out that she was grooming herself while driving to prepare for a date that night. And it was in Florida. You saw the article? She was getting a bikini wax to herself while she was driving. And I thought, that is the ultimate form of distracted driving. So, I mean, the huge concept. But, I mean, how many times can you make up something more funny than that when you're talking to a room full of people about what not to do while driving? And you all see these cases. Judges as magistrates, you see some pretty bizarre stuff. And we don't have to talk about any specific cases. In fact, we'll talk ethically about the fact that we can't do that. But we can make this fun. We can make it interesting. We can make it interactive. We know this stuff so well that we can go out and present it and actually get people to listen to us. And that helps us. We can serve as role models for young people. So here's your ethics credit, judges. Canon 4B1 of the Code of Judicial Conduct says that a judge may speak, write, lecture, and participate in extrajudicial activities concerning the law and the legal system, the administration of justice and non-legal subjects subject to the requirements of this code. Well, nowhere in the code does it say you can't go out and talk to people about traffic safety. It doesn't say that you can't go out and talk to people about the law in general. In fact, the code doesn't necessarily encourage us, but it allows us to. And we know that there are several grant fundings available. There are resources available for you that do encourage you to go out into the community. Court clerks, you're not subject to the code on judicial conduct directly, but you should probably act in accordance with the code on judicial conduct because we're all part of the judiciary. And so the code does allow us to go out and talk on these topics. Now, we know that we need to avoid commenting on an actual case. We don't want to go out and say, you know, be standing in somebody's classroom and say, oh, by the way, your mom was supposed to appear for me next week. And, you know, she was texting while driving. That's not very smart. We don't want to give legal advice. This is a big topic right now. I think this is something we might see next year in the regional program. OCA just came out with a publication not too long ago about the difference between legal information and legal advice. We have that linked on our website under our resources tab under pamphlets. So if you ever are asked to go and speak to a group, that might be a good publication to look at just to see the difference between giving somebody legal advice or actually giving them legal information. And we don't want to be negative. We don't want to go out and just, you know, scare everybody. We don't want to go out and tell them, you better not do this or you're going to appear before me. We want to be honest, though, and tell people the consequences. I mean, it can be something as simple as saying, if you go out and drink and drive when you're under the age of 21, this is what's going to happen. That's not giving legal advice. That's legal information. And we might be scaring them, but we're being honest. We're telling them what could actually affect them. But we want to make it fun. We want to make it lively. There are different things that we can do to make this interesting, and we're going to talk about some different interactive strategies that you all could use when you're out there. Okay, so what are some of the reasons? Let's kind of talk about this. What are some of the reasons that you might want to go out and get involved in the community? I guess this is the time to ask. Raise your hand if you have ever gone out and spoken to a group of school children. Okay. What were some of your experiences? Why were you asked to go do it, or what made you want to go out and get involved?
My high school baseball coach is now a principal. The rule is to go talk to him.
Okay, so we have a judge who has a personal connection with somebody who works in the schools, and it's a way to give back. I mean, you grew up in that community in those schools. You're still in that community. You're a figure of authority in that community. It's a way to give back. Who else? Yes.
We had a severe problem with a truancy in one of our management that year.
Okay. So their community was having a big problem with truancy. And if I'm repeating things that you can hear, it's just for the audio purposes. But the community had a problem with truancy and kids not going to school. So the county judge, the municipal judge, the JP, the principal, they all got involved together and decided to do a program to encourage kids to stay in school, talk about the issues that could come of it. And they saw a drop in the number of kids who weren't attending school. So that was a way to not only help these kids, but also to decrease the caseload of these cases that involve kids, which I think all of us can agree, these are not the fun cases to be handling, these failure to attend school. I mean, you're punishing a kid when you really want to help the kid. So who else?
They put on the trial.
Okay.
All the judges came. A bunch of judges participated.
Okay. Shattered Dreams Program. Anybody else had the Shattered Dreams Program come to your city? A couple people? Shattered Dreams is one where they look at some of the consequences of drinking and driving or distracted driving even, and they have a, you know, where somebody actually dies in their school. When I was in high school, we did a day of silence where, you know, every hour somebody was tagged and we would actually go to the bathroom and paint our face white. We weren't allowed to speak for the rest of the day. And when you put kids in these situations where they actually see what could happen, they see the number of their classmates that could you know, not only be injured, but seriously killed because of some of these unsafe driving practices. It, you know, that's a pretty powerful way to get them to drive safer, more so than having them and 16 of their friends be in a driver's ed course together. But the court got involved. They did mock trials on the last day of the Shattered Dreams program. And, you know, the judges could come and actually serve as judges on the mock trials and teach these kids about the ins and outs of the criminal justice system. Anybody else have any experiences they wanted to share? And feel free, you can do it throughout the rest of the presentation. But those are all good things. So some of the reasons why, what's in it for us? It makes our job easier. You know, you can establish your rapport in the community. We can go out there and try to teach people about these laws, and it reduces the questions that are going to be asked when these cases do come to the court. But it also helps us to learn the law a little bit better, too, which, I mean, we can all be better at our jobs, right? It reduces our caseload. Now, the last presentation I gave was about cities wanting to bring in more cases, but, you know, we could see less of these cases as in a failure to attend school situation. You know, we want to see less of these cases on our docket because it's not pleasant to have to adjudicate these kids criminally. Let's help them. Let's reduce these cases and get kids to keep going to school. Increasing our overall approval rating. None of us want to be loathed in our community. We want to be respected. You know, municipal judges, I know for years there's been a section of municipal judges who want municipal judge license plates. You know, if I were a judge, I wouldn't, solely because if I run a stop sign, I don't want to be on the bench the next day and have to adjudicate somebody for running a stop sign and then call me a hypocrite. I mean, you want to be respected. You want people to see you as a figure of authority and somebody who is respected, and we need to practice what we preach. So, if we are out there doing positive things in the community, people are going to have a more positive view of the municipal court in general. And let's face it, when are people going to do what we ask them to do? when they respect us, when they want to do things. I mean, you know, you catch more flies with honey. So, you know, when we have a more positive image of the court, not as a place to be feared, I mean, we want people to be fearful of the court just so that they respect our orders, but we also want the younger kids coming into the court to, you know, to have a better opinion of the court. And the biggest thing, it makes our community safer. I mean, not only do we want to increase the safety in our communities, but that helps all of us too, because we're all out driving in our communities as well. So let's make it happen. Let's figure out ways that we can get out into the schools and do some of these trainings, some of these presentations, some of these ways to try to reach the youth in our community. We have resources. The DRSR, like I said, is a grant from TxDOT, and TMCEC has hired teachers to try to create resources that these teachers can use in the classrooms. Now, you all aren't the teachers, so I'm not going to spend much time on that, but we do a separate training every year for teachers to come in. It's free for them, and we give them all these materials. My sister is a first grade teacher in the Houston area, and it, you know, with funding being cut, she's lucky to still have a job, but she definitely isn't going to get any money from the school to go buy this stuff to be able to use for her kids. So we do trainings for teachers where we give them the free materials. We can give them books. This year we're doing a whole thing on monkeys, and I have, you know, we have copies of these books for everybody. This is a book that TMCEC hired somebody to write and illustrate. It's called Don't Monkey Around with Safety on Field Trips. Illustrated book. We do it in a big book format for teachers to be able to read. It comes with a contract for a field trip at the end where they all get to sign the contract that they're going to follow all these safety rules on a field trip. It's about a little monkey named Marigold. We have another book that's coming out that's about monkeys. So for the teachers, we got monkey puppets. And these were shipped from China, and we had people who, actually people being Lisa Robinson and her mother, who sat and sewed bows onto the monkeys so that they could be girl monkeys and boy monkeys. And teachers that come to the training, they can contact us, and we'll send them a package that has the monkey puppets, and it's got aprons, and it's got flashcards, and it's got substitute lesson plans for days that they're not going to be there. And if they want to go on a field trip, it's got the book and then the field trip contract that they can sign. So everything that we prepare for the teachers is also tied to the TEKS. So anybody who has been a teacher in here or has a teacher in the family knows that standardized testing in Texas, everything is taught to the standardized test. And so we've been able to tie all of these lessons into those learning objectives so that teachers will be more encouraged to use this material. When I was trying to develop lessons for early elementary for, you know, to go under this DRSR grant, I tried talking to my sister about it, and her response was, what do these kids care about traffic safety? They're six. They can't drive. But, you know, these kids don't realize that the transportation code covers pedestrians, tells them on what side of the road they have to walk. It covers bicyclists, tells them, if you know, what side of the road they have to drive on. Your city ordinances might say they have to have a helmet. You know, it covers them wearing their seatbelt or being in a car seat. And when the law changed last session and kids under 8 had to now be in a booster seat, can you imagine how easy it was for a mother to tell a 7-year-old who had been out of a car seat for 2 years, got to wear a big boy seatbelt, now you have to get back into a baby seat? You know, but that was a situation where teachers and judges and court clerks and city officials could go and talk to kids about the importance of it. You know, try to convince them that it was cool to be in a car seat again. And so we actually had teachers who wrote songs about, you know, it's cool to be in a booster seat, and they would have chants and raps and monkeys telling them to get into a car seat. So all things that are going to encourage kids to do things that are going to make them safer. So those are the resources we have for teachers. Again, they can call us, they can, you know, get all this stuff from us. But we also know that we are here to help with the courts, and so we've done things for the courts as well. And so we're just going to go through a couple of the different resources that we have. This is our town map. I'm sure many of you have seen this. But we did just create a new lesson plan on our website. And everybody's been to our website, right? TMCEC.com. If you go to the DRSR logo at the top page, there's a whole bunch of resources that you can use. So those of you who have been out in the community, have been asked to come and do presentations, or those of you who would like to get out into the community, I mean, we all kind of want to leave the court for a day or a time, you can go to our website and download a lot of the stuff to be able to use, and it's already prepared for you. So you don't have to spend time trying to figure out what in the world am I going to talk to these kids about, because it's already been done. But one of the lessons that we have is this, deals with this map, and teachers use this map for all kinds of creative purposes. Now, I have a couple copies up here. If you want one, we can pass a couple around. But the map has a bunch of different pictures on it that show some safe practices, some unsafe practices. And teachers can use it to identify, if y'all just want to kind of pass that around the room. Find a safe driving behavior or find an unsafe behavior. And so I heard from one teacher who one time said that she has a problem with her kids tattling on each other. You know, Johnny did this on the playground and just trying to get others in trouble. And so she said, we're going to have a no tattling policy in our classroom. But every Friday, you get to come up to the map and tattle on somebody on the map. That way the kid gets it out of their system, but they still get to look at some safe things. So they might tattle and say, this guy is crossing the street, not at a crosswalk. Or this guy is riding a bicycle, not wearing a helmet. Just things to get kids thinking about safety issues. So we've created a lesson that if anybody gets asked to go out to the courts, we have this I Promise to Obey class. And it's just kind of a script that you can follow. It talks about you get up, you introduce yourself, talk about your role in the court. You know, I'm Judge so-and-so in this court. Does everybody know what a judge is? Do you know what happens for you to be able to come see me? And talk to them about the role of the judge or the role of the court clerk. And you can take them through a series of questions on let's look at what's a rule and let's look at what's a law. And, you know, we have rules to keep us safe. We have rules to tell us how to behave. But we have laws, too, that tell us how to behave. And what happens if we break a law? That's when we can get punished for breaking the law. And so you can go through and identify different laws and different rules and talk to them. You know, this child might have a rule at home that you can't ride your bike after dark. And that's not against the law, but it is a rule. But we might have a law in our town that says if you're riding your bike, you have to wear a helmet. And so we can identify the difference between a rule and a law, what's a good idea, what's against the law. And then at the end of the class, you can use the map to identify some of the, you know, things where people are breaking the law or doing things that are against the rule. And then they get to fill out an oath at the end. And we have these actual certificates that you can order from us. We have them for court clerks. These are all court clerks, but we have them for judges too. And at the end of the day, as a judge or a clerk, one of your duties is to be able to give the oath. And so you can explain to them that by virtue of being your job position, that you're able to give an oath to people. And so each of the kids gets to take an oath at the end of the day saying that they promise to obey the following traffic law and always be safe by making sure they do blank. And then the kid gets to sign the certificate and take it home. It's got our seal on it, so they feel like it's an official thing. You get to sign it as the judge or as the court clerk, and they get to sign it as the law-abiding student. Now, anybody in here who has kids, when we talked about that earlier, I remember when I was a child and I learned about don't drink and drive in the DARE program or don't talk on your phone while driving. And I would go home and we'd have, you know, my mom would have a margarita at dinner and then she'd say, okay, let's go rent a movie. And I'd say, no, you can't drink and drive. And I don't know if Ryan told this story this morning or not, but, you know, talking about kids being in their car seats, his son Liam is so used to not being able to ride in his car seat when he's driving anywhere, that there have been days that he's forgotten to buckle Liam into the booster seat, and he'll start the car, and Liam will go, no, you're not allowed to drive because I don't have my seatbelt on. And, you know, I mean, things like that. So you talk to the kids, and then the kids might take that behavior home to the parents as well. So lots of uses for the Our Town map. Those are available to take out there. I mean, lots of ways to get creative on that. For older classes, I mean, this isn't something that you have to use for kids either. You know, the code book. Everybody have a copy of the brick at the court? I mean, you're talking to a high school government class. They can find something on the map and then try to find the law that governs whatever it is that they can find on the map. So lots of different uses for the Our Town map at different age ranges. Just a bigger copy of the oath. This is one, of course, is from the judges. We have the children's books. I mean, it could be something as simple as reading to the class. I mean, you talk about younger school age children. Maybe you just get invited to go out and read to them. Still introduce yourself as the judge, talk about what your role is in the court or as the court clerk, what it is that you do, but read the book. Now, the Safety Squad book, it's coming out. It's not out yet. This is a pretty cute book where we go through the alphabet A through Z, and, you know, every character has a name starting with the letter A through Z. So Abigail and Brian decide to form a safety squad because they realize that kids are doing things that aren't safe at their school. And the way you get into the safety squad is you have to tell somebody that what they're doing is not safe. And then they have to agree to go and tell somebody else of something that they're doing that's not safe. And then you get tapped into the safety squad. And it goes all the way through the alphabet all the way to letter Z. So that's just, I mean, something as simple as going to the schools and reading a book. We have a couple board games that have been created. Things like, you know, you have to make it safely from the home plate all the way up to the mall. and you draw letters. It's kind of like a game of life or something where you might get a card telling you, uh-oh, you ran a stop sign, go back three spaces. Uh-oh, you're speeding, go to municipal court. And things like that where they have to make it all the way to the school. So there's some games that can be played with kids as well. Now, everybody knows that we have all the online stuff. You know, classrooms are starting to get more and more internet savvy or electronic or whatever it is. Everybody's into this whole e-learning kick. And so we have some games, too, that can go, that can be played online. So we're in legislative session right now. Perfect time to play a game like this. And if you don't know much about the legislative process yourself, it's not a bad way to inform yourself. So these games that are available online, these were all established or created in conjunction with the State Bar of Texas. And this one is There Should Be a Law. It talks about how a bill becomes a law in Texas. And so you can, you know, we can download the game. We can send it to you in a format where you can play it without even having to have the internet available. For some reason, it's not going to want to play in here today. Of course, it's going to be difficult for me. But this game actually goes through. It says that a class one day finds out that one of their classmates was in a really bad accident because somebody was talking on their cell phone while driving and ran a red light. And so the class decides there should be a law against talking on your phone while driving. And so the teacher talks to the kids and says, this is a perfect learning opportunity. Let's write a law. And so it talks about what committee do we want it to go to? How many votes does it have to get in the House and the Senate? Who has to sign the bill into law? Who do we want to testify for or against this law? And they get to play an online game, and then at the end of the game, they get to print a certificate saying that they've completed it. Now, you know, even if we're not going to be going out into the schools to talk about any of this stuff, we can use some of these resources in our courts as well. So, I mean, you have somebody who is a child, and you're putting them on deferred disposition. As a condition of deferred, they have to complete some of these activities. They go online, they complete them, they have to print a copy of the certificate and turn it into you. They get to type in their name, it shows the date that they completed it. If there's a score, it'll give you the score. But just different things that you can use these activities for in the court as well. There's another online game, Objection, Your Honor. This one is a game that goes through different witness testimony and talks about the rules of evidence and what is an objectionable question and what's a permissible question. And it'll give you a witness on the stand, tell you who the witness is. It'll tell you who the if it's cross or direct examination. It'll give you a little synopsis of the case, and then it'll give you the question. And then the person playing the game gets to choose whether or not to object to that question or allow it to be a permissible question. If they choose not to object, then it'll tell you whether you should have objected or not. And if you choose to object, you get to pick what the objection is. And at the beginning, it teaches you what the different objections are: hearsay, lack of personal knowledge. So again, if you're not very familiar on the rules of evidence, it's kind of a fun way to learn this. But this is great for a government or an economics class or a civics class in high school to get them to play a game like this. Then we also have the Pick Six Jury Game, and this one is everybody's favorite. In the Pick Six game, the fact pattern for this game was actually written by Ryan several years ago, so everything in it should be legally sufficient. But you get a fact pattern that basically says that Junior is home alone one weekend. He lives with Grandpa, and Grandpa tells him that he's going out of town. And so Junior and his brother decide to throw a party. And they invite a couple of their friends, who in turn invite a couple of their friends, and it ends up being a wild, crazy party that gets completely out of control. And somebody gets into the liquor cabinet. And Junior decides that he's getting a little scared because people are now drinking at his grandpa's house and he wants to get out of there. So he starts to leave the party, and on his way, the police are coming and he gets stopped. So as you're even going through the fact pattern, you can talk about all the things that are going wrong. The fact that Junior was on his phone while he was driving. Junior's 16. It's now against the law for you to be on your phone while driving if you're under 18. The fact that they were having a party, people who were in consumption of alcohol, people who were in possession of alcohol. You know, this is a great fact pattern to go talk to a group of kids right before high school prom or right before spring break. You know, that's a good time for judges to go out there and talk about the consequences of some of these decisions that these kids might make. And this is one way to present the information. Go through the fact pattern, have them identify the things that are going wrong, talk about some of these issues, and then go in and play the game. So in the Pick Six Jury Game, let me ask, I don't know why this is not working, usually it does. But let me ask, it's always funny to see how people want to play this. But in the game, you get to choose to play for the prosecution or the defense. So how many people would want to play for the prosecution? How many people want to play for the defense? How many people just don't care and don't want to play? Okay, well, I think it's kind of funny because usually we find that when we ask the clerks, they always want to play for the prosecution, but when we're doing it just for judges, they always want to play for the defense. So I don't know what that means, but so here we have the fact pattern, state versus junior, and we're going to go ahead and play for the defense. But you get to go through all these juror profiles, and you can click on a juror profile, and then you get to decide whether or not you would want them to be on your jury if you were a defense attorney or a prosecutor. And so we're playing for the defense, but I think we have about 15 jurors. So somebody tell me a number, what juror you want to, just throw out a number, 1 to 15. Five? Okay, so juror number five. You click on juror number five, and it gives us information. He's a male. He's 46 years old. He's a dentist. He's a Methodist. He's married with 3 teenage children. His wife is a high school teacher. And he once served on a jury for a DWI case in which the defendant was acquitted. Now, if we have Junior on trial for minor in possession of alcohol or a DUI, and we're a defense attorney, is that a juror that we think would make a good witness for, or a good juror for the defense? Yes? Okay. He acquitted a guy on a DWI case. So if we want to select him as a juror, then we choose that, or we can put him back in the jury pool. So another juror, I heard somebody say number four. Juror number four is a female. She's 22 years old. She's a secondary education major, still in college. She's a Baptist. She's engaged to marry a YMCA youth director. She was recently involved in a traffic accident with a teenage driver who was at fault. She's never served on jury duty before. She's somebody we would want on our jury? Probably not. She's pretty mad at this teenage driver that she got hit by, so we want to put her back in the jury pool. Let's pick number seven. Okay. Number seven is a 28-year-old male criminal defense attorney. That was a pretty given, right? All right, let's select him as a juror. Now, I will say, I got called for jury duty one year when I was in law school. You know, I tried to use the exemption as much as I could, but I had to give in at one point. And so I decided to go to jury duty. It was a JP trial for passing a school bus. And I thought, for sure, I was working at the time. I was sworn in under a third-year practice act at the DA's office, and I was prosecuting drug cases. So I thought, for sure, as soon as they heard that, the defense attorney would not pick me in that jury pool. But I did get picked, and because I was in law school, they thought it was funny to make me the jury foreman, so I got to do my first day of jury duty that day, and I mean, it's amazing, you learn a lot, so even just a lesson on doing jury duty, you know, as a court, how can that ever hurt you? You want people to reply to that jury summons, you want people who see their parents get a jury summons to not throw it in the trash, so even to go over a lesson as simple as the importance of your civic duty for jury duty as a way to reach kids is something that the courts could get involved in. Okay, so let's just randomly pick a couple more. Let's say we want juror number 8, and we want juror number 10, and number 13, and we'll just grab 9 because he's right here. And then when you're done, you click done, and it'll tell us what our score is, and we can score a possible whatever out of 30. So we did pretty good randomly selecting our jurors here. But juror number 5, he was the one who had acquitted somebody for DWI one time. We got 5 points for him. It says that he's going to be leaning towards the defense because he teaches high school students, has 3 teenage children, and he's once acquitted somebody for DWI. We got 5 points for juror number 7 because he's a criminal defense attorney, and that's an ideal defendant or an ideal juror for the defendant. And I funny that I picked randomly, and I got 5 points for every juror that I picked, except for number 9, who we only got 1 point. So otherwise, we would have had a 30 out of 30, but I promise I didn't cheat. Okay, so we have games like that that can be used to go out there, and that's a pretty easy way to talk to kids and not have to really prepare anything. Okay, so let's talk about this. What are some of the ways that we can reach these kids? I mean, again, the DRSR program focuses primarily on getting in contact with children. We're trying to reach the youth. We want to talk to them early. They're the easiest ones that are probably the easiest to get in contact with. But it doesn't have to be limited to kids. It can be civic groups. It can be community groups, different legions, anybody that you might get invited to go speak to. But what are some of the ways that we could reach students? I mean, we have some of the ones that we've printed in the recorder before, if you've ever read these articles. Sending some of the materials to school with your child or your grandchild. Anybody know Lisa Robinson in here? She's the TxDOT grant administrator for TMCEC. You might have talked to her on the phone or heard her speak before. You know, she's the one who oversaw this program. And so when we had these teachers come up with these different materials for the teachers, I mean, things as simple as do-nows, where if they had 5 minutes to spare, they could go pull a little activity. Well, she sent all the materials to her kids' school in Dripping Springs, and they started using all these materials. And her kids just thought it was the coolest thing in the world that mom created the materials that they got to teach from, you know? So the whole school district kind of adopted these lessons just because she sent them to school with her kid one day. It might be that you invite the classes to come to your court. You know, if you know that the school district is looking for field trips, it might be that you invite them to come to the court. Maybe during Municipal Courts Week, you put an invitation out to the schools to come and watch a docket. Maybe you do a juvenile docket one day. Maybe if you do teen court, you hold teen court at a time that other students can come and observe it. I mean, it might just be something as simple as extending the invitation. You could always just call the schools and ask to talk to a class. Call them and tell them you're interested in coming and talking. And if any teachers have any availability, you know, you're there and you're willing. If you know anybody who is a teacher, that's an easy way to talk to anybody. Those of you who have gone out in groups, I mean, I know we had one judge who has a contact who's called and asked him to get involved, but the rest of you, how have you been invited or found out about opportunities to go speak?
I don't
want to say probably your local bar association may be a contact. Okay. That's good. Local bar association. Well, and we also have a speakers bureau that you can sign up for. I think there's a letter at the front of your binder, and I also, in the handouts for this class, there's a form that you can fill out. This is something that's available on our website, and if anybody has a desire to invite somebody in the courts who's willing to speak, they can go here. I think it's on page 10 of your handouts. We just add your name, your court, your telephone number, and your email address to our website, and people can get in touch with you that way. If there's ever a need for you know, a presentation on something, Judge Ellsworth from Spearman up in this area, he was invited to go speak to 150 junior high students because they wanted to talk to them about the dangers of drinking and driving at an early age. And we had different magnets that we were able to send, different goodies. We can send you backpacks, coloring books, things that the kids could take home with them. Just, you know, who doesn't like a freebie? That's why every time you sign up for some kind of race, you get a free T-shirt or something. But he was able to take things to give away to the kids. I had a court clerk down in Padre who the police chief, the court clerk, and the judge were all invited to speak to a high school before summer vacation. And so they were looking for topics to be able to talk to. And so, you know, the schools were able to go to the Speakers Bureau, and they were able to find people who were willing to come talk to them. This is another lesson that's going to be put up on our website pretty soon. The point here is make it interesting for kids. This is a Disney video that was produced back in the 1950s, and it's about Goofy, and it's talking about the differences between pedestrians and motorists. And so Goofy starts out as Mr. Walker, and anytime he's a pedestrian, he's Mr. Walker, and he's very, very shy and very timid and, you know, always, you know, spinning around like crazy like they do in the cartoons. But when he gets behind the wheel, he transforms into this evil Mr. Wheeler and, you know, gets all snarling teeth and red face and, you know, backing into cars left and right, hitting people left and right, ignoring stop signs and parking lights. And so even something as simple as showing this video to kids, which I've tried it and they do laugh, even though it's from the 1950s, Disney's still pretty funny. And then they get to talk about some of the things that went wrong as Wheeler or Walker. And so they, you know, were able to look at, be able to discuss this a little bit. Other lessons we have online we're not going to talk about, but just lots of different examples that you can do. So this is there's an article in the Recorder that talks about ways that you can make a difference. But the big thing is we just ask everybody to go out there and try to do that, to make youth aware of the consequences of poor driving, to encourage them to act safely, to teach them about traffic laws and safety. And we have all of this information on our website. Now, I have copies of all these books. We are out of the English copy of the Municipal Court Coloring Book, but this is a new publication. Lots of courts are taking these now to their court. You have a problem with people bringing kids to court, courts will stock these. And you can get crayons from us, from TxDOT for free, that talk about buckle up, and just gives the kids something to do to keep them busy during docket. So I do have plenty of copies in Spanish if you want to take some of those today, or we have the ones in English. I have plenty of copies in Spanish and English of the Don't Monkey Around with Safety. couple card games and driver's handbooks, but feel free to come take any of the stuff. And if you do ever have opportunity to go out and speak to anybody in the schools, just let us know. It's something that we'd like to feature and showcase. I mean, it's an important part. It's something that we encourage judges to do, and something that court clerks, it's a way to get out of the court and kind of, you know, make a difference in the community. So with that said, it's 3:50, so I will let you go, and we will see you in the next class.